Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is our heart's desire to look like you. Lord, we want to be models and examples of sonship to everybody we come in contact with. I thank you, Father, that you are pulling down strongholds of deception and wrong thinking, and we are entering into the truth of who you say we are, what you say we have, and what we can do in and through you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. Can you catch this? Are you? let's take our Bibles this morning. What is this? And hold them up and say this together. This is my Bible. We are who God says we are. We can do what he says we can do. We are identified with Christ. We are seated with Christ. We are raised with Christ. And we are one spirit with Christ. Amen. When people see us, they ought to see him. Amen. We're going to continue our series on pathways to partnership as the Lord has given us five core tenets that'll work in your marriage. You need to be sowing these into your marriage, into your family, your relationship with your children. It'll work with your business, and it certainly works in every leadership venue within Grace Church. In our relationships together, we want to cultivate these five core tenets: honor, humility, trust, the unity of the Spirit, and hearts for reconciliation when you hit bumps in the road. When you experience difficulty, our tendency is maybe to move away, but the heart of the Lord is we need to move towards each other and maintain our oneness in Christ. Amen. So these five core tenets help establish a culture of honor, despite being surrounded by a culture of dishonor and fear and distraction. Boy, my heart broke this week. I got word that the city of Choctaw had received death threats because of the mask ordinance. Brothers, it ought not to be so. May that never be named among any of us. Amen, somebody. And unless you're in the room with those people, you really don't know what their motive is. And so number three is trust. And ultimately, the Lord is our defense too. If they're secretly plotting evil against us, I fully trust a God that can help us pay off a building that rapidly. I fully trust him to get our backs. Amen. But unless you're in the room or you have a recording of it, for all we know, they're being a deterrent to COVID in their mind, not a deterrent to good. Romans 13 says that you honor proper authority, governing authority that God's established in the cities, in the towns, in the nations. You do that unless they become a deterrent to good. And nowhere in the ordinance did it say we couldn't love Jesus with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So is there a time to push back and stand up against wayward government? Absolutely. If you remember back, and a few years ago, Obama was president, and the Houston mayor was subpoenaing sermons in the city of Houston so she could strike from them anything that was anti-gay marriage or anything that promoted, you know, biblical scriptural marriage. And so they were trying to subpoena, or they did, those sermons. Thank goodness it all got shot down. But what did we say? I don't know if you remember that time, but we specifically said, if you're going to, as the government, invade our ability to rightly divide the word and teach it as we see through the lens of the Holy Spirit, as we see truth, if you think, or you're not going to allow that to happen, you're going to take our 501c3 away, what did we say? Come and get it. Come and get it. Because if you think for one second we're following Jesus and madly in love with him because we get government favor or kickbacks, they don't know Jesus. Amen. That has nothing to do with it. We don't give because of all that. It's a nice blessing to have it. But if the government comes in and tries to tell us what we can preach, what we acknowledge as truth, puts a limit on how we can love Christ with all of our heart, yeah, you do stand up. But even then, you stand up righteously. In love. Amen. All that was free of charge. I didn't have that in my notes. All right. I want to talk to you this morning about being an example of humility. Everybody say, be an example. This is a biblical principle. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. We'll get to that maybe today. I'm going to talk specifically about humility because that's where we are on the chart here. We've already covered honor. We're into humility now, but we need to be an example of all of these. Amen. We need to lead the way in all of these. And I don't know if you've ever considered the responsibility that the Lord has bestowed on each of us to live as good, godly examples. Think about that. The Lord has bestowed a responsibility upon us to live as Christ in the world, as light and salt, and to be a good model, a good example. While we have the privilege of being forgiven of all of our sin, amen, past, present, future, we also have the responsibility of being those who've been forgiven of all of our sin, past, present, and future. While we have the privilege of being those that are loved unconditionally by God, we also have the responsibility of living as those who are loved unconditionally by God. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, there's a responsibility. It's a biblical principle that Father God wants to use you and me to model to the world what it looks like to be anchored in Christ in the midst of a lot of distraction and, you know, we call it a blizzard of information. Everything that's coming at us, right? There's a lot of drama going on. There's a lot of drama. So the Father wants to use us as models of the stability of what a life that's stable in Christ looks like. And so we become representatives of that. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, let's go there. For as many as are led by the media, these are the sons of God. No, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. We have to rightly divide what's going on, people. I mean, source is very important. Your source of what, you know, makes your day or doesn't make your day, gives you life and peace. We need to be tuned in to the Spirit of God. We are those not led by the media or the ups and downs or rioting or social injustice. Doesn't mean we don't get involved, but we're not led by that. We're not moved by that. We're led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, the most endearing term in Scripture, literally for us, means Daddy God. That's what it means. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. While we have the privilege of being children of God, we also have the responsibility of being children of God. It can't just be all about us. At some point, we have to have a mindset, Lord, how's my influence with those who look to me? Amen. Christianity might have began with you, but it can't end with you. Or it ceases to be authentic Christ following. Because as a mature believer in Christ, we care, we concern ourselves with those around us and how we're representing Christ, how we're modeling Christ to them, and how we're investing Christ in them. Don't fall for the Western church model, which is it's just all about you. Everything's about you. God works for you. He's blessing you. No, we got to grow beyond that. It may have began with you, but it doesn't end with you. If we're children, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. What does that mean? Everything Jesus inherited, you've inherited. Everything He had from the Father, you have. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we can be glorified together, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Is Angela Sturgill, she's back there today, isn't she? Is Angela in here? All right. I want to pray that scripture upon her. I feel like that's for her. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation, what is that saying? Creation's waiting on us to show up. The sons of God. Listen to the Passion Translation, verse 19, Passion. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. How about that? On their tiptoes, the entire universe, just to see the sons and daughters of God. What a privilege. that we get to be an example of what a son or a daughter of God looks like. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I'm a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. Look at verse 3 there, but being examples to the flock. You say, well, Brother Steve, I'm not an elder. Well, what's your destiny? Romans 8:29, everybody in this room is predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So maybe you say, well, I'm just an immature babe in Christ for right now. Okay, but understand that where he's taking you is to be an example to the flock of God around you. We've been duped thinking, well, it's just all about me and it doesn't matter how I live and I'm just working out my salvation. I'm doing this and that and the other. It does matter. We need to begin to take responsibility or ownership. I know it's by his grace, but we need to be available and surrendered to his work in us that we can be light and salt to the people around us. It does matter. Our behavior matters. We're called Grace Church. Amen. So there's a lot of grace in this house. I get that. But I tell people I run with in grace circles that if you think God doesn't care about our behavior, you don't understand the love of God. You say you're a grace person. You don't get the love of God if you tell people he doesn't care how they're behaving. He will protest every step of our self-ruin. If Sylvia is sowing sin into a relationship or into a business endeavor, he cares about that. Now, does it mean he doesn't love her and she's not right with him anymore in her spirit? No, it doesn't mean that. But he's sure going to talk to her about it. Why? Because he loves her. And he loves those other people that maybe she's, you know, swindling or whatever if it's a business deal. Sylvia would never do that, but I'm just saying. I have a series on forgiveness out there if you need. Yeah, on your way out, just grab it. Sit with the Lord on it. God, it does matter how we act, but don't put yourself under condemnation, but understand, even if you're a babe in Christ, he's taking you down a path to be examples to other people. And then verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that doesn't fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to each other. Excuse me. And be clothed with humility. So he's telling them a great way to be an example to the flock is clothe yourself with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves. Look at the repetition of the word humility here. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Love that. Stacy and I ate this scripture, and what we mean by that is we diagrammed it, if you will. We looked up the definitions of the different words, look at the repetition. There's some filters, and it's a great tool to help you know the Lord better and better understand the scripture and the author's intent when you digest the scripture or eat it, as we call it, out of Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 and 10. That's where we get that. But be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. That's self-reliant. You look up the word proud, self-reliant, not God-reliant. And then he gives grace, which is favor, which is a gift, but it also means he leans into. He leans into, literally walks right upside the humble, those who make themselves low before him. And then, of course, humility is tied to casting all your care on him. Because he cares for you. Why is that tied to humility? Because pride is what says, God, I got this. I'll take this care. No, you don't take the care, cast it. Which literally means hurl away violently. Stay away from it. The Message Bible in verse 3 says, be an example to the flock, not bossily telling others what to do, but tenderly showing them the way. How do we show the way? Tenderly. Tenderly show them the way. Boy, how important it is in this hour in our country that there's good examples for people to see. Amen. George Barna, who's the church statistician, did the, you know, the survey of people in this country. 66% claimed to be Christian. But it was interesting what he found. They claimed 66% claimed to be Christian, but he said they identify, based on the series of questions, they identify more with being a Republican or a Democrat than they do with Jesus. And these are part of the 66%. And he said, what I mean by that is they aligned more, the 66% of Christians aligned more with certain political stances rather than the attitude and spirit of Christ. Brethren, it ought not to be so. No political platform ever gave their life for you. I say it again. I've been saying a lot lately. If your hope is in a political party, or a certain politician, I'm praying for you. The real hope for our country is the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the hearts of, yes, every politician. But let it start with us. I can't fix the politicians, but I can live Christ myself and put my hope in Him. And I think part of that is, do we pray? Sure, we're praying. We're interceding. The country needs it. Do we vote? Absolutely. Please vote. But man, let's keep our hope where it belongs and our identity in Christ. Because you can be right in your argument and wrong in your heart. And what's the New Testament about? Your heart. Everything's about your motive. Jesus even said, hey, you all worship me. Yes, outwardly, but your heart is far from me. He said, if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, then you've already committed adultery. What does he care about? Everything is about your heart. So be on guard against, yeah, I'm totally right in my opinion, but you can be totally wrong at the same time. Amen. You know, we had a word at Prayer Shield yesterday. I just have to laugh at it, but it's so good. That the reason the enemy wants you to be offended at certain people is that you're probably the one God wants to use to fight for their freedom. God wants to use you redemptively in that person's life. So the enemy wants you offended at them. So you're always mad at them. You don't pray for them. You don't witness to them. You don't love on them. I mean, just a thought. It's just a thought. You could be the one, that person you're really mad at, you could be the one that Daddy God wants fighting for their freedom. Yeah. How do we drift into that? Well, I got rights, man. I got rights. Yeah, you got a right to be deceived. And if you're offended, you're deceived. Think about that. You have to take offense. You have to take it up. Nobody has the power to offend you. You have to take that garbage in your heart. Yeah, stay away from that. It's like drinking poison but expecting the other person to die. It's not killing them. It's killing you. Amen. So we need to, I love this, we need to model what we desire for those we have influence with. We want to model what we desire for those we love around us. You parents, you know that you can't expect your children to honor you as a proper godly authority if you never honor any authority in your life. Yeah, tight, but it's right. Think about that. We want to model, we love our children, right? We love them. So we want to model what we desire to see in their lives. We cannot expect them to honor us as a godly authority, parents, and we never honor any authorities in our lives. I have a discipleship group on Monday nights with a group of men. And Kyle can vouch for this. We talk about this a lot. Who are you in your home? Who are you? I had them listed out. Priest. I'm the model of Jesus to my family. We need to think about those things. I want I want my wife and my children to be able to say, I have followed him as he follows Christ, that my father was a good example of Jesus Christ. What's your legacy? I'll tell you what I want my legacy to be. When it's all said and done, I pray that they say a couple of things. He lived to tell of God's own son, and he was a great model of the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's what I want said about me. Now, have I arrived? No, and Stacy will vouch for that. But I have left. I've left the dock. So we want to model for our family and our loved ones. Living in the love of God, living in humility before God changes the people around us. I like what Gretchen said last week. She did a great job sharing on humility last week. And she said our humility before God is actually manifested in how we treat people. Yeah. And boy, how many times this week have we talked in the staff that people who say they love God and hate their brother. What does 1 John say? You cannot say anybody who says they love God and hate on people are liars. Because your love for God, your humility towards God is worked out towards your brethren. Amen. Boy, it is tight this morning, isn't it? Good thing we had a lot of good worship this morning. Amen. And I still got, you know, it's only 10:25. Praise God. There's no question. I want to be honest with you. I hope that's, well, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to be honest with you. In the early years of ministry, I'm being completely honest. And I got into full-time ministry in 1994. I was more concerned with being a model of the Lord in front of church people than I was in front of my own family. I don't know if that was because I was 24 years old and, I was in career mode, so I wanted everybody to think I was doing a good job. I wasn't faking it. I mean, I just cared more. I was more intentional about representing Christ to church people where I was on staff than my own family. My goodness. And when we want to be, we talk about being a model and being an example, let's start in our homes. Amen. Jerusalem. In Judea. I love to tell this story. I was the evangelism pastor at Life Christian Center in 1994. That's what I'm telling you about. I was 24 years old. And we had Tuesday night visitation, and so I'd go out and visit the families that had visited the church and those kind of things, or if there were church families that needed a visit. And I'd go visit them, and I pulled into my driveway one night after visitation, and I heard the Lord as clear as a bell. He said, well, here's your next visit. And that got my attention. So I listened. He said, you care more about those people out there that you barely even know. You just met them. And you treat them better than you do your own family. So what was he saying? Go in there and treat them like you're treating all these other people. Yeah. I don't mind telling that story because let it be an example. I mean, when the Lord rebukes you like that, I don't know about you, but I feel really loved when he tells me stuff like that. I don't feel ashamed. We're embarrassed. Yeah. So we need to be mindful of those closest to us that we have influence with. It is a biblical principle to be a good example. And that's not telling people one thing and then doing something else. You've got to break ties with do as I say, not as I do. Even because I said so is not overly awesome. I have a way of soft serving some of these, don't I? Just it's important we walk in the light of what we want those around us to walk in. That's in your bulletin this morning. It's important we walk in the light of what we want those around us to walk in. Churches need more people who aren't just saying the gospel, teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, but living the gospel. Churches need it. And you say, well, Brother Steve, I want to know how. I mean, I do want to do that. I want to be a good example of how. Well, make Jesus Lord of all your receiving mechanisms. Make Jesus Lord of your eyes, your ears, and your heart and mind. Let him be Lord. Don't put anything in front of your eyes without asking him, is this okay? Your ears. Listen, if you're piping in CNN and some of that garbage all the time, man, you're going to be depressed. Or mad, or I don't know. It won't be edifying, I can tell you that. I can't remember last time CNN came on and said, well, here's the word of the Lord, with what's going on. And if it's not the word of the Lord, why are we listening to it? Amen. All right, so make Jesus Lord of your receiving mechanisms, number one. Number two, choose to abide in Jesus daily. So live connected. Walk with Jesus. This is our prayer with you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. And if you do a big piece of stupid, he was there. He saw the whole thing. And he's not leaving you. As a matter of fact, the reality that you see that it was stupid and you're grieved about it is proof that he's at work in you. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you he's not with you. The whole reason you're sensitive now to sin and it's ugly to you, you wish you hadn't done it, is because Christ lives in you. And he doesn't leap out of your body, run away scared, you know, sin, sin, oh my gosh, Kyle sinned. He doesn't do that. He's already slain sin. He's already defeated it. And then what's happening? He is walking with you until you walk in the full light and reality of what he's done. You're no longer a slave to sin. And every day, he's going to remind you of that. Amen. Sit with the Bible every day and its author. I think it's good to get into the scripture. And this Eat the Word I was talking to you about, maybe we'll teach that at some point, where it's just a great tool to help you dive into scripture and sit with the author. Like, really, Lord, what are you saying to me? All of us want to hear God's voice. Amen. And so to be able to sit with the scripture and the author is a great tool. I like this one too. Get immersed in truth. Stay immersed in the truth. And if you're immersed in truth, here's what you get to do. Are you ready? Wake up. Number two, renew your mind to who you are. Number three, go be you. Sound easy? Stay renewed to truth. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm a child of God. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm justified in Christ. I'm sanctified in him. I'm born again. I'm clean. I'm pure. I'm forgiven. Renew your mind to all of that and go be you. And then last one, live under the influence of the love of God. When he said in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, he connects wine with the Spirit because what he's saying is people who drink too much wine come under its influence. So instead of coming under the influence of the world, come under the influence of the love of God. Boy, that'll change your life. Amen, Roger? It'll change your life. Come under the influence every day and every moment you think of it. Put an alarm on your phone maybe every hour. Let it go off. I mean, don't get fired, but... Put an alarm on your phone that reminds you, hey, am I living under the influence of the love of God right now? Let those devices work for us. They got all kinds of gadgets and stuff on them. Use them for the kingdom. So that's our prayer for you, that you would know and experience the love of God by revelation. Everybody in this house, could you imagine all of us knowing and experiencing the love of God by revelation and walking with Jesus daily? That's what it's about. It's not about church membership, guys. That's not in scripture. And I think our emphasis, I was online with a guy, a pastor in the UK this last week, and he said, you know, I think our emphasis on Sunday morning has so hamstrung the church, because he said it's allowed us to live comfortably in a life of compromise Monday through Saturday. Because we lost sight of what Jesus really came to die for, and that's that we would have an ongoing daily relationship with him on the inside. He's not confined to a building, amen? The church is the people. Whoever's got the Spirit of God in you, wherever you go, there's the church. Amen. Now, we do gather together. That's biblical. I love it. I love the gathered church. There's power and strength as we gather. But at the same time, man, don't equate Christianity with Sunday morning for an hour or two. He didn't die for that. He died that you'd know him every single day and walk with him. So we're all leaders at some level. Can I get a witness on that? If leadership is influence, we're all leading at some level in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your business, maybe this particular body. So we take a measure of responsibility for influencing those around us. And I'm going to say it again. You say, well, I'm not a leader. I promise you somebody is looking to you. Somebody. And even if not, you continue growing because he's taking you to Romans 8:29. Those who are senior leaders here. Oh, okay, yeah. Those who are senior leaders here and mature in Christ need to be modeling humility. Not just saying what to do, but exampling it. Being the Word made flesh. Not just amening the truth, but manifesting it. Amen. You say, all right, Brother Steve, how do we do it? Right here, humility in action. We get some of these from Philippians 2 with Apostle Paul, verse 1 through 7. But humility in action is we need to model preferring others. Number 2, knowing them by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Assess and evaluate yourself. How do I do in knowing my spouse by the Spirit versus their performance? So quiet in here. This is full gospel church, isn't it? Last time I checked. Knowing them by the Spirit, not by the flesh. See the value of your husband over his performance. Speak life to him. Amen. And vice versa. Amen. Husbands and wives. Husbands, wash your wives by the washing of the water of the word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, 27. How about this? Number 3, what's humility? Own your stuff first. If you're going to go rebuke somebody, you might examine if you got a big log in your eye. It'll humble you. Number 4, regard them as important and valuable as you are. Number 5, make yourself low. In other words, serve them. When we exercise humility, we have a servant's heart. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, though you have 10,000 instructors, you do not have many fathers. Church, hear my heart this morning. The body of Christ needs fathers and mothers in the faith. We need them sorely. And it can't, again, just don't fall for that. Well, it's just all about me and my own relationship. No, we need mothers and fathers in the faith who do what? Here's another one for you. You can take a picture of it if you want. It's important. Fathers and mothers who intentionally invest in, who walk with, who lay their life down for, who model Jesus as source for. What does that look like? It means we don't live and die with whatever's going on TV or what we read on social media or what somebody said about us. I'm not even living and dying with the election. God's going to be God whoever wins. And Christ is going to live in and through us no matter who wins. Do we pray? You bet. Do we vote? You bet. But I'm not living and dying with that. I'm trusting the Father. He's my source for my joy. And I tell you, if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. My joy comes from Him. Number 5, they ensure the healthy growth and development of those closest to them. Does that make sense? Intentionally invest in those closest to them. They walk with those closest to them. Lay their life down for those closest to them. Model Jesus as source for those closest to them. Ensure the healthy growth and development of those closest to them. You know, people that God has laid on your heart, people that you have a connection with, and then of course your own family. Number 6, I just added that, think like parents. So they understand, hey, I am responsible. I want to live in such a way that I reflect Christ. So we think like parents, not like the kids. We think like shepherds, not just like sheep. Gavin, you guys can come. Last year, about halfway through the year, the Lord spoke to us here at Grace Church and said, I need you to shift your thinking. Don't just think like sheep. I need you to start thinking like shepherds. This is why. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their churches, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Healing every disease and sickness. Isn't that wonderful? Wherever the kingdom of God is welcome, you'll see the devil take a beating. That's what happens. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but I got no workers. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest. I love that. So they're harassed and helpless, church. You guys see anybody in America today that's harassed and helpless? I do. So we aren't supposed to look like harassed, helpless sheep. Let me tell you why. Because we have a shepherd. We have a shepherd. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are, yes, pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. I get all that. But we're not out there lost, living like the world. We have a shepherd. We have light and we have truth. I think our weakness is we tend to drift back to the world, get anchored back to the world, our physical senses, and start taking on, you know, being moved by what they're doing and saying, rather than abiding in the vine, staying hooked up to Him where we can take truth into the world. Amen? We can take truth and life into our sphere of influence versus always being influenced by the flesh. Let's stand together. Boy, thank you for your patience this morning. I appreciate that so much. One last scripture Annie got at Prayer Shield yesterday. I want to read this to you. This is powerful. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She's furnished her table. Everybody say table. She's sent out her maidens, cried for the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I've mixed. Forsake your foolishness and live in the way of understanding. What she was seeing in that is the Lord is asking each of us to continue to grow in Christ, mature in Christ, where we can lay out a table before those around us, whether it's your children, your spouse, maybe your neighbors, maybe your workplace. But you have prepared bread and you have mixed the wine and you've got it now set out where other people can come and taste and see how good He is. Not you, but taste and see how good He is. Well, I think that's a word of the Lord for us. That we want to continue to grow, continue to feed, so He can use us to feed others. Amen? Father, I thank You this morning for every person that's gathered. And I would say to you, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you do not know Him by the Spirit living within you, and you want to make that decision, would you just slip your hand up this morning and say, Brother Steve, pray for me. I want to receive Christ. Anyone? Okay. Gathered church, will you pray with me? Let's just turn our receivers on. Father, I thank You for the good word of God. I thank You for the washing of the water of Your word. Lord, our hearts and minds are set. They're cleansed. And now, Lord, would You give us great grace to walk immersed in Your great love and to live in intimacy with You each and every day. Lord, that when people see us, they can see You. And when they hear our voice, they actually can hear You and Your sweet love. Lord, that we would live as a model, as an example. And Lord, that that would be our legacy. We love You. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, give Him praise this morning. He's good. If you need prayer or you have questions, stick around. We'll pray with you. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Let's go change our world.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.